Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 11, the book of Acts, and we're going to chapter 11. This is just where we're going to start. I've got just one statement I'd like to read to you. It is at the end of verse 26. Acts 11, 26. The last sentence of the verse says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Well, this is the subject I'm going to try to deal with today. What is a Christian? And if God the Spirit would enable me to do this, answer this from the Word of God. At the end of the message, then I'm going to ask you this: are you a Christian? What is a Christian? And are you a Christian? You know, the word's only found three times in the New Testament. It is obviously here in chapter 11, verse 26. It's also found later in the book of Acts, when Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." That's Acts 26 and 28. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, this is what Peter says: "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Now, what is a Christian? There's no question about the fact that there's a lot of fuzzy thinking on this subject. No doubt about that. I know lots of people believe we live in a Christian country. I've heard it said we need to go back to being a Christian nation the way we used to be, but actually this has never been a Christian nation. I know there was a time when our leaders and folks in this country seemed to have a greater respect for God, a greater fear of God than is seen now, but most of them weren't Christians. Those early fathers, founding fathers of our nation, they weren't Christians. I know for a lot of people, and this is what you hear in society, they say a Christian is anybody who's not a Muslim or a Jew or an atheist. If you're not one of those, then you must be a Christian. To others, a Christian is somebody who they got sprinkled as an infant, and when they was about 12 years old, they get confirmed in whatever church, whatever denomination they are at age 12 or so, whenever, and then they become a Christian. To other people, a Christian is somebody who lives by the golden rule, tries to be a good person, and nice and decent, that sort of thing. Others believe a Christian is somebody who's walked the aisle, made a positive decision that they wanted to go to heaven when they died, and they don't want to go to hell. Others say a Christian is somebody who's changed their outward life and they've given up some bad habits and they've taken on some good habits. Try to live right, treat other people right. What is a Christian? Got so many voices out here telling us what a Christian is. I think maybe we need to listen to the voice of God. Let's see what God has to say on this subject. We need to turn a deaf ear to every other definition of what a Christian is, pay attention to what God has to say. Now, as far as the word Christian is concerned, obviously it means a follower of Christ, a follower of the Anointed One, a follower of the Messiah. But even that's not an adequate answer. So let's answer the question from the Word of God. God help you to listen, because I'll tell you this. If you die without becoming a Christian, it'd been better if you'd never been born. That's just so. If you die without being a Christian, it'd been better if you'd never made your mom and daddy happy by being born into this world, if you don't become a Christian. I'm going to be simple. I want the young people to be able to grasp what I'm saying, at least the words that I'm using. We know only the Spirit of God can take it home to the heart. But let's not muddle the subject. Let's not muddy the waters. Let's just be honest, straightforward. I give you four things. You follow with me and see if this isn't right. What is a Christian? Number one, a Christian is somebody who has honestly, and this is from the Word of God, they face the issue of who God is. That's who a Christian is. They've honestly, from the Word of God, they face this issue. Who is God? You see, God's not like we think He is. God's not like we imagine He is. God is who He says He is. And in this religious age in which we're living, people bring God down. Preachers, you listen to them, they bring God down, make God to be less than He is. You cannot be a Christian unless you've got an accurate view of who God is. That's just the way it is. If the God you worship, if He can't do what He wants to do, if He wants to make everybody wealthy and everybody healthy, if He's got some designs for you that'll never come to pass because you won't let Him, you're not a Christian because, number one, your view of God is all wrong. Now, this is where it starts. This matter of what is a Christian, it doesn't start with us. It always starts with God. Everything begins and ends with God. The Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, you. Not in the beginning, the devil. Not in the beginning, man became a sinner. But in the beginning, God created. Everything begins with God. Right doctrine begins with God. In this matter of Christianity, it begins with God. It begins with God. Number one, God is a God of purpose. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heavens. Isaiah chapter 14, the Lord has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Isaiah 14:26, this is the purpose of Him that purposed upon all the earth. This is the hand that stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah 46, God declares the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I've purposed, I will also do it. We make our plans. We say what we're going to do. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. But things interfere with our designs, and they don't come to pass. But what God has purposed always comes to pass. That's the God of the Bible. This is a God we've got to realize is the God of truth. He's the God of salvation. There is no Christianity unless we start right here. God is the God of purpose. He's the God who does what He wants to do. You ask most any little child whose mind has not already been corrupted by free will, Arminian religion, you ask them, what can God do? And they'll say He can do anything He wants to do. He can do anything He wants to do. And that's exactly right. Out of the mouth of babes and infants. That's the truth. Nothing unforeseen ever happens with God. Ephesians 1:11 says, In whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. When you got up this morning, there were several things you wanted to do today. Maybe they'll be done. Maybe they won't be done. You do lack the ability to do anything that you want to do, but God doesn't lack that ability. God has all power. God has all dominion. God's eternal purpose extends to everything. He can't be defeated. Even man's actions are under the authority of God. Even man's vile actions are under the authority of God. The most vile thing that's ever happened in this world is the murder of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus, He came into this world. He came to give His life a ransom for many. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And what did the world do? The world of unbelief, the world of ungodliness. What did the world do? All the world said, we won't have this man rule over us. And therefore they nailed Him to a tree. But that was according to the purpose of God. Because all the Gentiles and the Jews, they with Pontius Pilate and Herod, they gathered together to do whatsoever God's hand and God's counsel before determined to be done. God's purpose can't be defeated. I'm saying this, if your idea of God is He wants to do some things, but He can't do them, His will is easily resisted, then your idea of God is altogether wrong. You can't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian. Not believing that God is helpless. Not believing that God can't do what He wants to do. Because your view of God is wrong. You have lowered God. You have brought God down. And if there's anything this religious generation is guilty of, if there's anything the preachers of this nation, most of them are guilty of, is this. They brought God down from His throne and they've been lifting men up. That won't work. That is not Christianity. That is absolute paganism. That's heresy. The God of the Bible is the God who does all His pleasure. That's what He said. That's what He said. And I'll tell you something else. God is holy. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods, glorious in holiness, Exodus 15:11. That's the most sparkling jewel in Jehovah's crown. It's more than an attribute. That's His very character. It's His very nature. It's that quality of God that sets forth His purity and the virtue of His divine nature. He's without spot. He's without stain. He's without blemish. He can't be polluted by sin. He loves righteousness. He hates evil. Thou art a purer eyes. This is what Habakkuk said. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil and cast not look on iniquity. God demands perfection and He will not accept anything less than perfection. He will not. It shall be perfect to be accepted. Leviticus 22:21. He's so holy that the heavens aren't pure in His sight. He's so holy, he charges his angels with folly. And I'll tell you something else. God is sovereign. His sovereignty is absolute, irresistible, and infinite. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he did in heaven, on earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. He does what he wants to do, and he doesn't answer to anybody. We all answer to somebody. We answer to the government. We answer to law enforcement. We answer to our families. And in all things, we answer to God. But God doesn't answer to anybody. He doesn't answer to anybody. What he does is right because he's God. And he can do anything he wants to do. But he can't go against his own holy character. We read, he is the potter, we're the clay. He molds everyone into whatever it is that will fulfill his eternal purpose. He made you, he's provided for you. He made you as you are. He gave you your IQ. He gave you whatever possessions he's given to you, whatever measure of understanding and intelligence, he gave that to you. He made you, he's provided for you according to his own goodwill and pleasure. He makes some people rich and other people, they remain in poverty. He puts some people in a position to where they'll go up the ladder of success. He puts other people in positions where they'll stay mired up in absolute poverty all the days of their lives. Who maketh you to differ from another? That's what the Apostle Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 4. Why is it that you're here this morning in your right mind, you're clothed, and you have some wisdom, you have some understanding, and you have things that God has given you, when other people, lots of people are not in their right mind? What about folks that are severely mentally handicapped, and here you are, God's made you different. Who maketh thee to differ from another? This is all God's doings. And everybody that God makes, whatever level of intelligence, he makes them according to his will to fulfill his purpose. God is sovereign. In the spiritual realm, he shows mercy to whom he will show mercy. He showed mercy to Israel, not to Egypt, to Moses, not to Pharaoh. Why is that? Why did God love Jacob and hate Esau? Why is that? That's his sovereign right. That's why. If that's not the God you believe, you don't know the very first thing about Christianity. You have not got to number one yet. If you don't know who God is, and that is the absolute charge that I level against most of the preachers and most of the so-called Christians in our country and in the world today. They are absolutely ignorant of God. Ignorant reigns throughout the world concerning God. Oh Lord, enlighten us as to who you are. I'll tell you something else. God is just. And because he's just, he will and he must punish sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. Nahum 1 verse 2, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. And if you look at that passage of Scripture, you'll see the word wrath is italicized, which means it was inserted by our translators, because what he reserves for his enemies is inconceivable and inexpressible. They just use the word wrath, but really it can't even be expressed what God has reserved for his enemies. I'll give you some idea of what God has reserved for his enemies. when our Lord Jesus died on the cross, bearing the sins that were not his own except by imputation. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wrath, holiness, vengeance, vengeance. And if God's wrath caused him to cry out that, how will a sinner ever endure his wrath? And yet you'll have to. And God will miraculously preserve every object of his vengeance. And he'll preserve them forever in order to just heap on them more coals of wrath. There's only one death that fully atoned for sin. That's the death of the Son of God. That's the only blood that could ever wash it away. Your blood won't do it. Suffering a million years in hell won't do it. Just the suffering of the Lamb of God to do it for his people. And thank God he's gracious and merciful and forgiving. I'm asking you, have you ever honestly and from the Word of God considered who God is? This is the God with whom we have to do. Not a make-believe God who's a sort of Santa Claus in the sky who wants you to have all of these things and he wants to do good things for you if you just let him. This is the God who demands of you, be ye holy for I'm holy. You best set yourself to finding out who this God is. Because I'll tell you, when you face him, if you're not altogether holy, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You'll hear those words. What is a Christian? It's somebody who's come face to face and honestly considered this issue of God, who God is. Number two, a Christian is somebody who has honestly, from the Word of God, faced the issue of the personal problem of sin. And it is a personal problem of sin. You know what Christianity is? It's the religion of sinners. It's for sinners. That's who it's for. Our Lord Jesus came to save sinners. He called Matthew unto himself, and the Pharisees, they kind of made light of him, you know. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They said, we be not sinners. They said, this man eateth and drinketh with sinners. Well, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Have you ever really faced the issue of your personal guilt? Your personal sin. Not the sins of society, not social sins. Say, oh, I tell you, this world's in bad shape. You're in bad shape. You see, it's so easy to say, oh, society sins. Oh, the social evils of the day. But this matter of being a Christian involves a recognition of personal guilt. Now, our sin and its consequences has many results, but the essence of it's threefold. Now, watch this. Number one, we have a bad disease, and we can't produce a cure for it. We've got a bad disease, and we can't produce a cure for it. Sin's like a cancer. It's like a leprosy, and all are infected. I know the disease isn't quite so obvious in some, while in others it's easier to see. But all are infected. Isaiah wrote, we're teaching a few lessons out of the book of Isaiah, and our very first lesson in Isaiah said, Isaiah addressed three things. In his book, he addresses three things. He addresses Israel's idolatry. Israel's ignorance and Israel's iniquities. I've alliterated those, make it easy for people to remember. That's what he addresses. That's what he preaches against. He raises the issues. These are the three issues: Israel's idolatry, ignorance, and iniquities. And he begins by saying the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. And this disease, this bad disease, if it goes untreated, if you're not cured of it, you know what the Bible says? Sin, when it's finished, what does it bring forth? Death. That's it. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Not life, but death. It's already brought forth spiritual death. And for all of us, very soon it'll bring forth physical death. And if we are outside of Jesus Christ, then there's going to be eternal death. We have a bad disease, we can't produce a cure for it. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots? Then may you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We got a bad disease and cannot produce a cure for it. Number two, we got a bad record and we can't get rid of it. I got a bad record. Can't get rid of it. What is sin anyway? I know we think we know, but the Bible defines it. Sin is the transgression of God's law. It's the failure to be perfect. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see, the law of God examines us. It not only examines what we do, but it examines why we do it. That's why Christ said to look on somebody to desire them. That's adultery. That's adultery. And he says to be angry with somebody, that's murder. That's murder. I'm looking in the faces of adulterers and murderers. There's no question about it. That's what the Lord said. Well, I've never done anything like that. You thought it. You thought it. You see, our Lord, he gives an accurate understanding of what it is to violate God's law. You're guilty in the court of heaven. And here's the thing. Sins are recorded. Sins are recorded. Goes in a book. In the books of God, you got a bad record. Got a bad record. Oh, you've forgotten what you've done, what you thought. And of course, most of your sins, you didn't even know you were sinning anyway. But oh, they're going down in the record. You got a bad record and you can't get rid of it. You can't purge the record. You can't purge the record. At the judgment read, the books were open. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. We got a bad disease and we can't produce a cure for it. We got a bad record and can't get rid of it. We got a bad record due to the fact we had a bad beginning. In the court of God, in the record of God, we're guilty of Adam's transgression. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sin in Adam. You sinner due to Adam's transgression. That's in the record. So I don't think that's fair. It don't make any difference what you think. Your estimation of something being not fair, your estimation's no good. God says you're guilty by imputation. Adam's sin's charged to you. Like it or not, you're born a sinner. You don't become a sinner when you sin. You sin because you're born a sinner. You're an offspring of Adam. Adam was your federal head. He's your representative. Well, I don't like that. Well, you better like that, because as God as we fail through a representative, God saves us through another representative. And that other representative, He's the Lord from heaven. He's the man Christ Jesus. And I tell you, we've got a bad record due to our own personal guilt. Not only for as an Adam all die, but we're sinners because of personal guilt, personal transgression, personal violations of the law of God, personal unbelief, personal vileness, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. You and I are sinners, not because we feel like we are, but because God says we are. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here, in and of yourself now, is there anybody here that can honestly, according to the Word of God, say, my record is pure? There's nothing in the books of me. I mean, I'm talking about in and of yourself. There's nothing recorded against me, preacher. I've always been perfect. Well, you're an absolute fool if you say, yeah, you're a fool. We sin so much we don't even know how much we sin. We just are sin. We are sin. Anything done for personal glory and not for the glory of God is sin. Your record's impure. You got a bad record. You can't get rid of it. You can't expunge it. Oh, if I could just erase the record. Got a bad disease, can't cure it. Got a bad record, can't get rid of it. And number three, we got a bad heart, can't change it. Boy, we in bad shape, aren't we? Got a bad heart, can't change it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some of you will remember years ago there was a commercial. A teenage boy walked down the street, and the car parked there, and he tried the door handle, and the door handle was unlocked. He went in, then the caption said, "Don't help a good boy go bad. Lock your doors." Wait a minute. If he had been a good boy, he wouldn't have done that anyhow. He wasn't a good boy. There are no good boys. Not before God. There are no good girls. Hey, the Bible says we came forth from the womb speaking lies. David says, I was conceived in wickedness. In sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, when I come out of the womb, I come out as a sinner. We got a bad disease, got a bad record, got a bad heart. A bad heart. The Lord says what you're putting into your body is not your problem, it's what's coming out of it. This is personal sin, personal guilt. You ever dealt with it? And I'm not saying that how much you have to feel your guilt. I'm not going to get into that. But does it ever bother you? I mean, really bother you? Has it ever kept you awake at night saying, man, I'm personally guilty before God? That troubles me. Troubles me. It's not about social evil. I know perverseness is out there. Homosexuality is run rampant. They try to throw it in our faces all the time on television. It's nauseating. Please don't become insensitive to this. Sodomy is awful crime against God. It's terrible crime. But the social ills and the societal sins, that's one thing. But we're talking about personal guilt. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. That's what that publican there in the book of Luke said. God, I'm the sinner. Be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. You know, he didn't even say, Lord, this old self-righteous Pharisee, look at this guy. He didn't even say anything about him. He said, it's me. It's me. It's not somebody else. It's not the national sins, the world sins, society sins, social sins. It's me, oh God. I got a disease and I can't cure it. I got a record and I can't expunge it. I got a bad heart and I can't get another one. It's me. That's personal guilt. I'll tell you something. What is a Christian? He's got a right view of God. He's got a right view of self. That's right. That thief, or that publican said, "Be merciful to me." I said, "Be propitious on account of the blood." Here's the third thing. A Christian is somebody who has honestly, from the Word of God, seriously considered the only remedy for sin. Now, such is our condition, it's needless to talk about self-help. If you go to these Christian bookstores, they got lots of self-help books. They can't help you. They can't help you. Because by nature, we're rotten before a holy God. We got a bad disease, we got a bad record, got a bad heart. It don't matter who you're talking about. I'm talking about from the most upstanding, outstanding, moral person in this congregation to the vilest person. Maybe there's somebody outwardly wicked. I don't know your lifestyle. But we're all vile before God. That's the thing of it. It isn't just the outward deeds, and that's bad. I mean, outward deeds are bad. I certainly wouldn't make light of that. But outward deeds are done because of inward rottenness. It just expresses itself. And if you haven't expressed your rottenness and your defilement to the degree of somebody else, thank God for His restraining mercies. He hasn't given to you that freedom to express or give vent to your depravity. So if you hadn't done what somebody else has done, it's not because you're better. It's only because God said, "Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you do that." That's the only difference. We're sinners before God. Here's the remedy. And I'll give you two things. The only remedy for sin, now get this, is bound up in a person. The only remedy for sin is bound up in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not bound up in a set of laws. It's not bound up in changing your ways. It's not bound up in deciding to be a better person. There's only one person that can do you any good. That's the Lord of glory who came down here to save sinners by the sacrifice of Himself. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. God gave His Son. God gave His Son, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The law of God pronounced us guilty. Guilty. You got a disease, you can't cure it. You got a bad record. That's what the law of God is. See, you're guilty. You got a bad heart. You're guilty. You can't change. Christ Jesus came into this world, perfect, pure, matchless Son of God. Christ the Lord. Now here's the second thing. I said first thing is the only remedy for sin is bound up in a person. Here's the second thing. The only remedy for sin is bound up in a person and His sacrifice for sin. Because that sacrifice satisfies the demands of God. Remember, we started with God. God's got to be satisfied. God's law's got to be satisfied. God said, "I'm a jealous God. I'm going to punish iniquity. I'm going to pour out my vengeance." Somebody's got to suffer, bleed, and die on account of sin. The only remedy for sin is bound up in the person and the work, the sacrifice, the sin offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of death did He die? A death of substitution. He did this. He did this for His chosen people. Get this. He took our bad record. He took our bad record. He took it all. All those sins that we hadn't even committed yet. But God knew them all. He said, "You just charge them to my account. I'll take His record. That vile record. Oh Lord, my record. of my corrupt thoughts, my impure motives. You know, you can talk about what we do and what we say and what we think. We're guilty on this part. Our motives are wrong. That's it isn't just what you do, it's why you do it. What an awful record. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll take that book. And all the records of all the sins of my people, I'll take that. Just put that to my account. And His beauties, His perfection, His obedience, written in the record of God. He says, now that's yours. that's your record now. I'll take your record. You get my record. What an exchange. I tell you, if God hadn't said it, it almost like it'd be too good to be true. But this is the freeness of salvation. It's all bound up in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took us off the record. And by His death, He cured us. His blood is the remedy. I got this awful disease. Can't get rid of it. But by His stripes we're healed. And my record? Oh, my record now? He not only took my record of sinfulness, but He said, here's my record of righteousness. And this is yours. The book of God is open. James Ferguson Bird. Perfect righteousness. Lord, can it be? Can it be? Oh, it's the truth. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yep. This remedy, it's bound up in a person and His work. Now, let me give you this last thing. Here's the last point. I said 4 points. A Christian is somebody who has honestly, from the Word of God, obeyed the gospel commands. You say, what's that? Repent and believe. We say we can't do that. Well, so it starts with this. We obey them because we've been born again. Been born in the Spirit. Have you ever heard the expression, and I know you've heard this expression, oh, he's a born-again Christian. As if there's some other kind. That's the only kind. That's like saying, he's a praying Christian. Well, all Christians pray. Well, he's a giving Christian. All Christians give. Well, you know, he's a real loving Christian. All Christians love. And when it comes to this, all Christians have been born again by the Spirit. Born again by the will of God. Born again by the power of His Spirit through the Word of God. And therefore, a Christian is someone who has honestly repented. What does that mean? Did an about face. That's what it means. You turn around. He turned you. It says of people of Thessalonica, they turned from their idols to serve the living God. They were worshiping this, whatever kind of, anything's an idol that's not God, right? I mean, you can describe it any way you want to. Some you're devoted to, love more than the Lord, it's an idol. Turn from your idol. That's repentance. You turn from dead works. What are dead works? Works that are done in the flesh that you rely on. You say, well, surely the more I do for God, the more I'll get from God. You better repent of that now. You better turn. That's not the way of grace. God's going to have to turn you. Where He says, nothing in my hands I bring. I don't bring anything. Cling to the cross of Christ. It's repentance. repent. That's a gospel command. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And that's still true today, isn't it? That hadn't changed. If we say to people, listen, there's absolutely nothing now that you need to get involved with. You don't have to be concerned about because God's ordained everything and there's no need for you to be concerned at all about your salvation. No need to seek the Lord. We're not honest with people when we say that. God is sovereign and He will do His will. Well, whatever His sovereign will is, I know what my responsibility is. If you don't repent, if I don't repent, I'm going to perish just like others who perish who don't repent. Whatever God's eternal purpose is. Anybody in here believes in God's eternal purpose any more than I do? And also, I believe we're responsible to this God who's sovereign. We're responsible to do what He tells us to do. And I pray to God He'll give us the ability to do what He tells us to do. Because if He doesn't, we can't do it. Is that right? If He doesn't give us the ability, we can't do it. Repentance is a gift of God, and faith is a gift of God. Faith. A Christian is someone who has honestly, according to the Word of God, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It's ceasing to trust anything or anybody else for salvation except Jesus Christ the Lord and His redeeming work. That's it. To trust His blood to wash your sins away. Trust His righteousness alone that justifies you before God. And I'll say this about repentance and faith. They have a beginning, but they don't have an end in this life. Isn't that right? They have a beginning, but they don't have an end in this life. Faith's not a one-time thing. It's continue. I have come, I am coming, I shall continue to come to Christ. I have turned from everything else to the Lord. I'm still turning from everything else. I'm still repenting. Well, that's it. That's it. A Christian is someone who has honestly faced the issue of who God is. They've honestly faced the issue of personal sin, the personal problem of sin. They've honestly, according to the Word of God, faced the issue of the only remedy for sin. And they've honestly, according to the Word of God, obeyed the gospel commands. Now I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And by the witness of the Spirit, by the grace of God, you know what I say? I am. I am. I am a Christian. Go, God, deal with us in mercy. For Christ's sake, for His glory, for our good. Well, let's sing a hymn.